I can't get over how generative AI has exploded onto the scene. It's like suddenly we have machines that can write, paint, even compose music sometimes in the style of real, living artists. But all this new creativity has people worried. Does Gen AI just bulldoze over copyright laws?
It's wild, isn't it? The heart of the debate seems to be whether these AI systems are actually infringing upon copyrights, or if what they're doing should fall under fair use. Some legal experts even want to rewrite copyright laws to account for AI, while others argue the current rules are flexible enough.
And the arguments get intense. One camp says Gen AI fundamentally changes the nature of creative work, so maybe we need brand new rules. But another group says, nope, the old laws already cover this. It reminds me a bit of when photography first arrived, and everyone was scrambling to figure out what counted as original.
That's a great comparison. The big question now is, how do we figure out if Gen AI is copying too much, or if what it's doing counts as transformative enough to be allowed? And honestly, even experts can't agree, which is why we see so much legal back and forth right now.
Software IP expert Bob Zeidman wrote a paper that gets into what actually counts as copyright infringement according to case law, and how to determine whether Gen AI actually infringes copyrights. It's not just if you duplicate someone's work word for word, right?
Exactly. There's literal infringement, like if you lift text straight from a novel. But courts have also gone after non-literal infringement, where you copy the structure or distinctive elements, even if the words themselves are different.
Zeidman gives the example of the lawsuit Salinger versus Colting. Colting's sequel, called 60 Years Later, Coming Through the Rye, didn't copy sentences, but it mirrored characters and the whole flow of Salinger's novel, Catcher in the Rye. The court basically said, this is too close, even if it's not identical.
That's what's so tricky. When a Gen AI spits out a story that's eerily similar, maybe the plot, maybe even the tone, does that cross the line? This complicates things for anyone training or using these systems.
So if Gen AI might technically infringe, there's an escape hatch called fair use. That doctrine is supposed to let us use copyrighted works in specific situations, but the way courts interpret it seems all over the place.
Totally. Fair use depends on four main factors. What the use is for, the nature of the original work, how much was copied, and whether the use affects the market for the original. But those factors aren't weighted evenly, and courts can get subjective.
Zeidman describes the Google Books case. Scanning millions of books was ruled fair use because it enabled search, which was seen as transformative, even though the exact copies were huge. But just changing the format doesn't always count as transformation.
Zeidman also discusses the Authors Guild lawsuits. Sometimes, storing whole books for search or anti-plagiarism software was okay, but if you started selling that data or showing big chunks of a book to users, the courts got a lot stricter. It's very case by case, which makes it tough for Gen AI developers to know where they stand.
Let's break it down what parts of a Gen AI system are legally interesting. Zeidman divides it into three big buckets: training, input, storage, and output. But each of those actually splits into more detailed categories.
Right. You end up with seven aspects. How the system gets its training data, especially public web scraping, short-term and long-term storage, and then two types of output: repurposing versus non-repurposing. Each one raises its own copyright questions.
For example, Zeidman says that scraping public web pages just to read them almost certainly isn't infringement. But storing those pages long-term starts to look riskier, though he says that if the scraped data isn't distributed, then it's almost certainly not infringement. However, outputting something in the same style or format as the input, like generating new music after training on copyrighted songs, can get dicey.
Absolutely. What's really fascinating is how courts treat things like transitory storage. Temporary copies that vanish in a millisecond usually don't count as infringement, but keeping a permanent database opens up more questions. Every layer matters, and slight tweaks in how Gen AI handles data can change the legal outcome.
Now, when it comes to what Gen AI spits out, there's a real split. If the system is repurposing, say, analyzing DNA, and outputting health predictions, that's so different from the input, Zeidman says that copyright doesn't really come into play.
But if you have a non-repurposing system, like training on books and then generating new stories, or training on paintings to create new art, that's where Zeidman says copyright alarms start ringing. Courts will analyze whether the output is substantially similar, literally, or even just in spirit, to any original work.
And here's where fair use gets extra complicated. Output that transforms the original, maybe by mashing up different styles or only using tiny snippets, might be allowed. But if you ask an AI to write a chapter just like Stephen King, and it ends up echoing his style or plot structure, things get subjective fast.
That's what makes this area so unpredictable. Some users might argue that Gen AI helps promote the arts by making creative styles more accessible. Others worry it undercuts the market for original works. Honestly, the answer might change depending on which judge or jury you get.
All of this begs the question, should we rewrite copyright law for Gen AI? Or do current laws already cover what matters? Some scholars want to add new exceptions or frameworks just for AI.
I get the impulse, especially with how fast things are moving. But Zeidman makes a strong argument that existing laws are already flexible enough after all. They survived the arrival of radio, TV, and the internet.
Plus, the US Copyright Office recently said that many uses by AI could be considered transformative, but they'll still look closely at things like commercial impact and whether the outputs actually replace the originals. So it's not a free-for-all.
In the end, Zeidman thinks we'll see more legal cases, probably even a Supreme Court showdown before the dust settles. For now, anyone building or using Gen AI has to keep one eye on the technology and the other on the evolving legal landscape. And they should understand Zeidman's seven aspects for analyzing Gen AI. It's a fascinating, messy frontier.